Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 4. I want to read one verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons, I'd like for you to mark this verse. I've had you mark your Bibles a lot lately, I know. I want you to mark this verse. I know you've read it many times, but I pray that God would speak to us specifically in this message tonight. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to ask you to read it with me on this third time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Tonight, the title of the message is Fighting the Battle Where It Can Be Won. Fighting the battle where it can be won. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to be gathered in this place. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that does abide in this house tonight. We pray, God, that you would quicken our minds and our spirits as you would seek to speak to your church. We pray, God, that you would minister in this house. Move, we ask, by your divine anointing. God, we pray that you would stress these truths upon our minds, that you would inscribe them upon our hearts. We pray, Father, that we would leave this place through having an hearing ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, that we'd leave this place empowered and challenged by God to fight the battle where it can be won. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll give you a couple of days. Yesterday morning, just as I was awaking, for the last three or four days, I suppose, just been on my mind. I'd wake up in the morning, just with this sense, this feeling on my mind. Yesterday morning, just prior to waking up, I had this dream. And in this dream, Jesse works with me in our business, and we were in the truck going down the road. And in this dream, there was a field on my left side, and there was like a berm or embankment, a hill of a thing on my right side. It was the whole extent of the road. And in front of me, to my left, against the side of the road, was a young man, maybe in his mid-30s, and he was doing something with an automobile. He had a gun in his hand. The two men standing up on this berm also had weapons in their hand. One at the end, it looked like he had a McDonald's cup wrapped around, but I couldn't see the handgun, but I knew he had one. And so we were sitting there at this position. I thought, for me to drive on through this, well, they may start taking shots at us. And so I stopped there to contemplate what I must do next. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm looking, I'm watching this young man to my left that's closest to us. He's not paying me any attention, but I know somehow that when he gets through dealing with this automobile, I knew somehow that these had all of the people in this area at bay, somehow under siege, and we had driven into this. Watching this young man, and I knew somehow that when he finished dealing with that automobile, he was going to turn his attention on us. And so in that moment, I'm surveying all of this. What should I do? Just sit here and wait on the inevitable? I finally thought, I'm going to put my foot to the floor. We're going to drive as fast as we can. Perhaps we can dodge any shots that are fired. But in that moment, I looked down to take hold of the steering wheel, and there was no steering wheel there. There was no gas pedal, just the dash. I was sitting in front of the dash. Somehow the steering wheel, the gas pedal, had been removed to the other side of the vehicle. And in that moment, I said to Jesse, I said, step on it. And I woke up. Now, it was so inscribed upon my mind. You can have dreams that are too much pepperoni pizza the night before. But there are some dreams that come that don't go away. Somehow I knew that God was trying to speak in this dream. And so I began to pray. I said, Lord, what were you trying to show me by this dream? And this came to my heart. You're not in control. When I looked down to take control of that automobile, there was nothing to take control of. Said, you're not in control. All of these thoughts began to play over in my mind all along. Over the last few days prior to this, you're not in control. And as I was contemplating this thought, it came into my mind so pressed upon me that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I can tell you, there are days when you're dealing with a controversy. Church, I've mentioned this before. I'll not belabor the point, but I simply will bring it up for a point that I must make. I can tell you, in this church that God is raising up, now we're just a handful of folks here, but as I've told you many times, that's spiritual. That's not numerical. I know that in my heart of hearts. It is a spiritual thing. A little over 4.5 years we've been endeavoring in this church, and so that's always at the forefront. In this, when you're endeavoring to break something out for the will of God, there is that constant pressure. There's that constant presence. It's always on your mind constantly, and the enemy is always agitating all along. There are days of greater agitation. Today was one such. I knew it was trying to capture what God wanted to do in this service and this message. It had become clear. Well, I'm dealing with this agitation, and so there are times in this deep controversy and fight of the soul, I can get up in the morning. I know in my spirit, you've got to begin in praise. You've got to be energized in your spirit. You've got to. If not, you'll fall prey to the flesh and carnality. And there'd be times I'd get up in this controversy so heavy, just continual agitation. I'd get up for the morning prayer meeting and kneel down at that chair, and just in an effort to pray in and pray out, I'm trying to break through and having a difficulty. I'll get up, walk through the house, and I'm just struggling continually, trying to break through, just trying to get something, and just in this time. And so there, after a while, just continue of this, it begins to exhaust the spirit, begins to exhaust you. And I'm in this place of spiritual exhaustion after day, after day, after day. And then God begins to deal with me. He sees this state of things, this posture of my spirit, what I've succumb to, and I'm there just kneeling over in this chair. God begins to deal with me, shows me this dream that you're not in control, begins to speak to me that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This was just going over and over and over in my mind. I knew God was bringing these together to speak to me. Some, you're fighting the devil on terms of the carnal flesh. You cannot do that. Your weapons are not carnal. They're mighty only through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, that was yesterday morning, and then God ministered to me. Oh my God, that got a hold of me. It helped me. It was the help that I needed from the Lord, and it blessed me in that prayer meeting. Well, I got up this morning, and the Lord was dealing with me along these same lines, but to move on to the next level. Is it praise? All along, as I was dealing with this, and it's time with God, as He began to speak to me that you must elevate prayer into the level of praise. You've got to elevate prayer into the level of praise. And all of this was dealing with me. So I'm going to preach tonight from this aspect. I know that God wants to speak to us about this thing. I believe I may be speaking sometime. I'm not telling you I'm preaching a series, but it's on my mind. We want to let God do what He wants to do. Let me tell you, I begin to talked to a pastor friend of mine yesterday as I was sharing these things with me. I told him, he asked me, he said, have you preached that message? I said, no, I haven't. He said, would you please, when you preach that message, please send me a copy. Saints, I'm going to tell you, folks need what I'm about to say. Not because I'm preaching it, but because I know the content is very important for the hour in which we're living in. It's very necessary. Let me state an observation to you. You hear me? 95% of the church prays at a carnal level. 95% of the church prays at a carnal level. Now let me go on. Of the 5% that does not pray at a carnal level, 95% of their prayer is at a carnal level. You hear me, saints? I felt so quickened in my spirit as these numbers came into my mind. 95% of the church prays at a carnal level. And of the 5 who do not pray at a carnal level, 95% of their prayers are at a carnal level. Saints, I'm going to tell you, we need a move of God. We need to press through until we have truly touched the place of God. From the earliest writings of the Old Testament, the Bible reveals to us the means by which we may obtain an audience with God. I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to read just one verse there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all. Can somebody shout all? If thou wilt seek him with all thy heart and with, somebody shout, all thy soul. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, somebody shout, with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And look with me, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. You can probably quote it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 13. Chapter 29 and verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with, somebody shout, all your heart. All of it. One more. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. My God. James 5:16, you don't have to turn there, you might want to mark it down, says this: the effectual, fervent prayer, it's the second half of that verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill, a great book that he wrote many years ago, he made this statement. He said, I do not believe that God answers prayer. Then he grabbed for that verse. He said, but this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails with God. You believe that tonight? Saints, these scriptures are not simply for the purpose of denoting intensity. There are times I say, well, pray for my mom. Pray for my mom. Or, pray for my mom! That's intensity. These verses are not for the purpose of stressing intensity, but wholeheartedness with all your heart, all soul and mind. This means prayer and praise with everything at our disposal. The Old Testament saint was given exact manner and proportions of sacrifices of praise and petition. To touch God required that they utilize the access that they, was given to them, that they utilize it. They didn't have the power of Christ's blood upon the cross. They did not have the descended Holy Ghost in spirit and fire, but they were called upon, required, mandated by God to use every means that they had to their access in prayer and praise unto God. You look back through the Old Testament and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, all of these sacrifices required by God. In times of prayer, when placed before the priests at the incense and the shewbread and all of these things in order, all of these they were required to use. It said if you could not provide for a bullock or a lamb, then you bring a turtle dove. All along the line, there was exacting requirements, and they were to use every means at their disposal all along the line. In the New Testament, the Christian is made available to the power of the Holy Ghost. We therefore must utilize all that is appropriated to the church in obtaining and invoking the power and the presence of God. Saints, we have been given the power of the Holy Ghost. We must utilize everything at our disposal. If you believe it, can you say amen? We must, dear God. Notice this discourse between Jesus and the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4. You may want to turn there with me. John chapter 4, verse number 19. Now the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said, now that's Old Testament thought. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Friends, we must wholeheartedly give God everything at our disposal. If you believe it, can you say amen? If we are truly going to wholeheartedly give everything to God, then what is left at our disposal is the Spirit of God. Amen. And we must worship him from that which has been fully appropriated to the church. We cannot fall short of it. If you believe it, say amen. Hallelujah. Now, the church lost this element somewhere. We're often spiritual people, but we're fighting, praying, praising on a carnal plane. I've preached to you several times over the last several months. Now, saints, I'm very serious about this, but I'm not angry. If I come across real serious, know that I love you. I've heard folks preach on stuff, look like they've beat me to death with the truth. That's not my desire at all. I'm talking to a loving bunch of people who love God. But I want to tell you, God is serious about this message, and I'm very serious about it. God wants to speak to his church. If you and I, if this preacher can get a hold of this, and you and I can get a hold of this, I believe God and change the church. Amen. If you and I can grasp these truths, I believe there's hope for the church. But the church lost that element somewhere. And we're often spiritual people, but we're fighting and we're praying and we're praising after a carnal manner. After a carnal manner. Pastor, I love God. After a carnal manner, friends, I'm going to tell you, there have been times we just get down and we say words. We go through a list of things. I've talked about a prayer list. Let me tell you, it's not to take away from the importance of a prayer list. Everything in its right association. I believe there are times you can't remember to put that thing down there. Remind you every once in a while. But saints, that's not what's essentially important. We've got to pray at the level of the Spirit of God. But we're in a place now, the church lost that element somewhere. Now the church, we're fighting a battle against the adversary on a carnal plane. We're praying on a carnal plane. We're praising on a carnal plane, not at the level of the Spirit. It has always been the requirement, the mandate for God's people to obtain the promises and maintain a victorious life, to do so from a spiritual place. We must, if we're going to obtain the victory and if we're going to maintain the victory, we've got to do so from a spiritual vantage point. It must be. When Israel crossed the Jordan into the promised land, the first adversary they engaged was the city of Jericho. Now listen, church, they fought Jericho spiritually. God told him, he said, you're going to march around this. The priests with the trumpets going to go on before you. You men of war, march in silence, not a word spoken. You're going to march around this city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to march seven times around. And when I shout and I tell you the command goes forth, then you'll shout, and only then the wall fall down flat. No man raised a sword. It was God Almighty. They shouted, for God gave them the city. They overcame Jericho by the Spirit of God. Amen. By God's Spirit, they overcame Jericho. How do we know the Spirit moves in the Old Testament? Remember what was said to the prophet, how these things are going to happen. What do these signs mean? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how the temple was rebuilt after 70 years of captivity. It was the Spirit of God that overcame Jericho, but they fought Ai in carnal flesh. They said, not all the people need to go up. Just about 2,000 or 3,000, let them go up, and 36 men died before the small city of Ai. Saints, often we're spiritual people, but we're fighting and praying and praising on a carnal plane. Satan would desire to keep the church and the child of God always fighting from this place of carnality. Always. How many times has he come against us to fight against us in a day's time?
We cast it off as some realistic conclusion. Well, this has come or that has come. I'm not for overemphasis and spiritualizing everything. I don't ask God what shoes ought to wear in the morning or what color shirt ought to put on. I'm not for finding the devil behind every tree. But friends, I will tell you this. God's people will know God's way, and they'll know the difference from truth and error and from Satan, which is a lie, and God, who is always truth. If you believe it, can you say amen? But God, Satan himself would desire that you and I should fight him along carnal levels. Comes up against us and we're going to struggle. We have a problem on the job. Deal with that carnally. Deal with it. Always something happens. We're just going to deal with it in ourselves. Struggle in our flesh. Sickness in that body. First thing we do is we run to the medicine chest of the doctor. First time we have financial crisis, we go to a family member or a friend that's got money, or down to the bank or the credit union. We get problems go along the way. We have problem with the neighbor next door. We're either going to settle it out in the front yard, or we'll do it down to the courthouse. We're going to fight along carnal planes. And if we don't go that far, church, then we fuss and fuse and steam around in our own minds and our own spirit. We're trying to ask God to do something that God's not in the first place. We're fighting all along this line, just dealing with it as it comes along. We're processing all of the trouble along spiritual, along carnal planes. We get down, we've got all kinds of trouble in the world, difficulty coming along. We don't know what to do with a marriage. We don't know what to do with kids. We don't know what to do in the circumstances of our life. We don't know what's going to happen with our finance, what's going to take hold of this body, any of these things. So we drape ourselves over an altar and throw out an excuse of a prayer, which is more carnal than it is anything else. Many times our weeping and crying is not by means of the Spirit. It's just overcome emotions. It's dramatics of prayer, and we have not touched God. We're serious because the need is serious, and that's the only reason that we're serious. Dear God, how many times, saints, have we as spiritual people only prayed and praised and fought in carnal realms? And if the enemy can keep us that place, just frustrate us enough, just hit and run. Isn't it amazing when the enemy comes against us strong so deliberately that we even recognize it's the devil? That when we do that, we fight him on spiritual planes. That's the reason. I'm going to tell you what's happening to the church, saints. First of all, men of God are not falling prey to adultery or the bar. That's not where it starts. People who have been faithful in the pew do not fall off the deep end because of any great sin. What happens is discouragement comes into that life. And anxiety gets a hold of that heart. Come on. Just comes in. Oh, I'm just so exhausted. Oh, my God knows I'm exhausted. Whew. So discouraged. Everything in the world just eats away. It's like those small foxes eating away at that vine. Just a little bit. My wife, bless her heart, she's tried to grow some tomatoes. She got one hanging from the rafter and got one pot down there on the ground, and then got a little pepper plant. Now, I'm telling you, that little pepper plant was looking good, starting to produce, and there that little pot of tomatoes looking good. Next thing you know, she walked out, and half the leaves are all gone. And what it was, we finally got to looking, realized there was a worm in there about that long, same color as the stem and the leaves, and it was just eating the leaves and the stem of those plants off. Got ripped, threw them away. We'd come the next day, and there it was again, two or three this time, coming in and destroying that. Couldn't see it. It's sown itself. As a matter of fact, I don't know where they come from. You may know better than I do, but I'm convinced that when we bought the plant, the eggs was probably already in that plant. It was coming from that. How in the world it could have got to that place, grass all over the country, get to that pot where those tomatoes and those peppers were, something taking place, sown itself, same color, camouflaged itself. Saints, many times this is how it comes into the church. Ordinary problems come along in a life, perhaps maybe overtime at the job. Next thing, we're too exhausted to pray. Problems come, that car's broken down, you haven't got enough finances to mend it, take care of it. Well, next thing you know, you're frustrated in your spirit. Things that not nagging aches and pains in that body come in, you can't understand what's going on. You're irritated because of circumstances in the whole life. Next thing you know, very discouraged. Somebody forgot your birthday or your anniversary, or you got passed over on that job. somebody was elevated above you, something all along, just nagging, discouragement, irritation all along the line. Next thing you know, people begin to close themselves off and begin to seclude themselves all along. Now, the enemy comes in to sow. It's natural, seems very natural, seems not obvious that the enemy is involved here, just natural things that befall humanity. I'm a Christian. But I shouldn't get everything spiritualized. If, you know, I'm a Christian, I ought to be able to deal with some of this stuff. And the enemy is sowing himself into that life like those worms creeping up on those tomato plants. Next thing you know, just frustrated in ourselves. And church, if the enemy would like no better than to have you and I always contest him along carnal levels. Amen. Just contest him along carnal levels. Well, you drape yourself over that chair and you begin to pray an exhausted prayer. Exhausted in your spirit. You're not lifting to the level of praise. You're just in there trying to work your way through. You're sharing God with all of the problems you're going through. God, you know, this and this and that and the other and all along the line. And God, help me, you ought to feel sorry for me. How many knows what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just dealing to emptying the contents of your mind, but you haven't emptied the contents of your soul, and you're there fighting the devil. Oh, I rebuke you, but it's along carnal levels. And the enemy would love to keep you and I there. God began to speak to me, son, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You're not strong along carnal lines. You were not meant for that purpose. It's not carnal fighting that you've got to do, but you're mighty only through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You've got to know that. It's got to seize a hold of you. You've got to get a hold of that. Saints of God, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We've got to get a hold of that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, all along the line. We must push the battle up to levels of the spirit. Can somebody shout amen? We've got to push the battle up to levels of the Spirit. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Satan would desire that you not push this thing to levels of the Spirit of God. We will pray with spirit and with understanding. We're saying, now, Pastor, you can't always be praying in the Holy Ghost. Saints, I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues. The Bible says, I'm going to pray in the Spirit and I'll pray with my understanding. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. I'm going to sing with my understanding. But always at the level of the Spirit. Whether I'm in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, or praying with my understanding, I'm still praying at the level of the Spirit. Why? Because I can only touch God in wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness is only accomplished when I use everything God has given me. Come on, saints. Everything. I don't have to go down to the temple once a year and offer certain things. I don't have to wait on the feast days. God empowered us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's why I told him to tear in the city of Jerusalem. This is not, you know, there are times I want to take certain language out of the preaching. You know, I get tired of saying the word Pentecostal because everybody puts it in a cliche. Well, I need speaking tongues. Oh, saint of God, if that's all there is, speaking tongues, you never touch God. There's so much involved here. It's when we touch God. He has given us, if we're going to serve God wholeheartedly in this dispensation that we're living in, we've got to utilize every faculty that has been given and appropriated by God to the church. Everything. That's the only way. Everything. Everything. The only way you and I can truly pray a prayer that'll touch God is there's got to be wholeheartedness in that prayer. And that means every faculty appropriated to the church has got to be prayed with. If I'm going to fight the devil, saint of God, I'm telling you, he's been unleashed. He knows he's got a little time. If I'm going to overcome in victory the adversary, I'm going to have to use every faculty given to me by God. If I'm truly going to praise to the point where praise is true praise, I've got to use every faculty appropriated by God. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We ought to know, but we don't. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My God, I was speaking to this pastor friend of mine yesterday, and I mentioned something that I'd mentioned to you, I believe, on a Wednesday night. I told him, I said, brother, I told the church this, that if you and I will truly praise God, we'll find ourselves praying less. Because God, once we're into that place of praise, then God by His Spirit's going to pray out of us. This morning as I was praying about this, the Lord even just impressed upon me, son, that's fine. You're headed in the right direction, but it's not a finished thought. As the Lord was impressing upon me, He pressed upon me this, you've got to bring prayer to the level of praise. Amen. I thought in my mind, if I were going to preach a message, I'd entitle it Praise, P-R-A-Y-S-E. You've got to bring prayer to the level of praise. My God, why? Because likewise, saints, why must we live in that place? Why must we use the spiritual faculties of God? This is one, verse 28, 6 of 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My God. Saints, I'm telling you, there are times you and I don't know what to pray about. We've got this prayer list. We're going down through, oh God, help grandma and help my neighbor and help my boss. And God minister to the president, touch the governor, and God help us to make ends meet, and God bless my job, and help me to get some more overtime, and all of these things. We're going down the line, but it's just carnal praying. We're praying at the level of the flesh. Why is that? Now, if I'm a Christian, how can that be? Because it's not empowered by the Holy Ghost. We're not praying according to the intercession of the Spirit of God. Come on, saint of God. Intercession is not just praying. It's praying at the level of the Spirit, where the Spirit of God flows through that prayer life. Oftentimes, church, we're going down there, oh my God, I'm going to pray. But have we prayed in wholeheartedness? Have we used every faculty given by God to this dispensation of the church? I'll tell you tonight, saints, in yours and my prayer and praise life, in yours and my battling with the adversary, if we do not push these things to the level of the Spirit, then what we accomplish is a carnal prayer life. What we accomplish is a praise in the flesh. No wonder we cannot defeat our adversary. We're talking to God about it, and we're telling on him. We're telling on the devil. You ever seen kids down at the playground? Somebody does something to them they don't like. They run to the teacher. Teacher, did you see what Johnny did over there to me? And just running and telling on the devil. Saints, I'm going to tell you, oh, no, that you get a boy down there, got a little more confidence in that, he's going to whip Johnny right on the spot. He don't have to tell anybody. He'll take care of business on its own. Saints, I'm going to tell you tonight, what we're doing is we're running and telling God on, we're telling the devil on to God. Come on. We're telling on the devil to God. Amen. Just whimpering and crying, and we go right back into that battle, and we're fighting it the same way. We fought it for years. Why? Because we have not pushed this thing to the level of the Spirit. Now, Landmark Tabernacle, I want you to hear me well tonight, because I tell you the truth, that 95% of the church prays carnal prayers. And of the 5% that does not, 95% of their praying is in carnality. My God, we must push this to the level of praise. You know, something slipped into our mind a long time ago. I remember I didn't come out of a Pentecostal environment. I grew up, my uncle was Methodist Nazarene. My folks, we came into the Baptist denomination when I was in elementary school. So they're just a mix of nominal denominations. And it wasn't until I went into junior high that we ever came into any Pentecostal understanding whatsoever. So all along, somewhere, maybe before I got in, always remember this, at least as far back as I came into Pentecost, somehow we got into our mind that when you really got into the things of the Spirit is when you were praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was a Sunday night, Pentecostal worship service, shouting, dancing, running the aisles, speaking in other tongues, all of that. We began to elevate praise beyond prayer. It was absolutely necessary to praise in the Spirit. We're still of the Pentecostal conservative movement today would say, this all this stuff you see floating down here, it's not praise music. It doesn't touch that spirit. You've got to praise. It's got to be motivated by the Spirit of God. We've got to praise from that level. So we believe that the standard of a worship service and a praise service is Pentecost, when they were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So we believe that. The greatest services in a Pentecostal church today are a worship and a praise service in our mind. We're closer to God, more elevated in the things of the Spirit when we're in praise and worship than we are at any other time. That is a fallacy on our part, church. We've somehow concluded in our mind that when we're praising, that it is a place of the Spirit, and we've dropped prayer to levels of the flesh. We'll pray in the flesh. We'll pray according to our understanding. We'll come out of the Spirit from praise and begin to pray in the flesh. The Lord embraced me with this. His son, you've got to elevate prayer to the level of praise. Not that he has to, but in our own minds and our understanding. That way, church, the Spirit itself makes groanings for us, prayers that we ought to know to pray, but don't know how to pray. I can think that, oh, that grabbed the hold of me this morning. Help me so much. Dear God, there are times you know that by means of the Spirit, but when those wheels get to grinding slow, God has to step in and give you a word from himself. I'm telling you, so begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I sense great authority in praying in the Spirit. I didn't know what I was saying, but as soon as I'd get through, often there'd be a prayer that would come out of that. I'd pray with authority because I knew it was the Word of God. Every word. Every time I wanted to say something with my mouth, but it was not accompanied with the Spirit. It was spiritual if you were to hear it said. It was a spiritual cliche, but it was not accompanied by the power of the thought of God. And so there I was refrained from saying it. When I'd say with my mouth what I heard in the Spirit of God say to my heart and mind, I could pray that thing with authority. I'm telling you, saint of God, I knew in my knower, I was touching heaven, I was rattling the gates of heaven. Hallelujah. Saints, not just in praise, but in prayer. A P-R-A-Y-S-E, accompanied and coupled together. Saints, you and I, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If the church, you and I, can push this thing back into the level of the Spirit, I'm telling you, there's no devil in hell that can run over the church. Hallelujah. God will empower you and I to do every work necessary. If you believe it, would you lift your hands in praise? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As you're shut in with God across this room, when I ask my wife to come to the piano, as you're shut in with the Lord all over this building, I just want you to put everything aside, close yourself in with God for a moment as you allow God the Holy Ghost to speak to you right now. Now, saint, the first thing you and I must do is we have to recognize a need. Often when preaching goes forth like this, many times we can receive it as an accusation, rise up in resistance or defense against it. Well, God, I would, but you know. Or, Lord, I'm not this or that. First of all, saint of God, you hear me well. As you're shut in with God, no looking around. You're just closed in your own thoughts. You're here tonight in this place. My eyes are even closed as I'm making these statements. You're here tonight in this place. The first thing you and I must do is receive the Word of God with an obedient, broken heart. We must allow the Word of God to be administered to us. It is the truth, but that does not mean the truth will change us unless we allow it to come. Oh, hallelujah. You're here tonight in this place, and you're shut in with God in this room. And you would say in the honesty and integrity of your heart, you don't have to tell anybody, this is you talking to God right now. In the honesty and integrity of your heart, you would say, God, Lord, I know this message is for me. How many times, God, have I called a prayer meeting what you would call a carnal thing? How many times have I lifted my hands? My mind was 100 miles from there. Oh, God. Oh, there have been times, Lord, that I've been very sincere, earnest, and intent. But, God, I had not pushed the thing to the level of the Spirit. The Spirit of God not groaning through me, praying through me. I wasn't praying at the level of the Spirit of God. All of those faculties at the church's disposal, but I'm not there. Therefore, my prayer nor my praise nor can I battle in wholeheartedness. I say I do, but I do not. I do not. Lord, I'm asking you to help me tonight. I'm asking you to help me tonight. You may be here in this place and you desperately need a victory in your life. Or God, by your obedience, has won a victory in your life. And you've got to maintain the victory that you've won. Let me forewarn you. If you pray and praise in the level of the flesh, which is going to be continual temptation, you lose everything you got. But if you will press through to the means of the Spirit of God, God Himself is going to give you the power to overcome every adversary. Now I'm going to want you to open your eyes for just a moment. I want to talk to you for just a moment longer. Saint of God, I want you to know this tonight. When you got saved, everything about your life became spiritual. Now, Pastor, I'm not God. I'm not a spirit. No, we're flesh and blood. This treasure is an earthen vessel. But everything about your life is spiritual. Saints, everything. Everything that touches that life. All things working together for good to them who love God. All things. That means every portion of my life, God's trying to work something of His will in it. Everything. That means everything I deal with in life is first of all spiritual in content. Everything. No matter what it is. No matter if you're dealing with your house, your job, your finances, your body, your mind. No matter what it is. It's spiritual in content first of all. There are times things come. It's an adversary setting himself up against your life. There are times you may have a problem with that neighbor next door. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Come on, church. I'm not talking about an overemphasis on spiritual things. Many times that very statement right there is no more than a lie sown by the adversary. Oh, you're just overemphasizing spiritual things. You're just becoming a spiritual so-and-so and a spiritual hypocrite. You're just everything spiritual to you. Oh, no. Church, I'm talking about you pray and you walk at the level of the Spirit of God. I don't mean when you're down at the fishing hole, you're speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about everything and its context is spiritual in nature. When you got saved, everything changed. Everything is, when you deal with something in life, you're dealing with God. No matter what it is, no matter what, everything is a test and a trial trying to get a hold of you. The adversary will use everything that he can, from a flat tire to overtime or the lack of overtime. Come on, church. He'll bring grandma to the house on church service. He'll cause a friend across the street to have a breakdown. Whatever the case may be, he'll rise up somebody in that. There'll be times when good people will, he'll sow something into that head to cause controversy in the house of, come on, saint of God. I'm telling you, oppression can come even by good means. They're not devil-possessed, but the enemy comes in to sow. Even David of old, the enemy rose up against him to cause him to number Israel. There are times when the enemy comes in all along the line. Church, we must realize, first of all, that no matter what we're facing, it always has spiritual implications to it. And we must live our lives from that level. That demands that we have got to push this thing up to the level of the Spirit of God, to use every faculty appropriated by God to the church. That means when you pray, you've got to pray at the level of the Spirit of God. There are times, I got up this morning, I went in and I thought, oh my, I am exhausted. Just exhausted in my mind, my flesh. For some reason, I got up this morning, I was tired. I wanted to get in that bed, go back to bed, sleep in later. Every muscle seemed to ache. I got in there and I thought, well, I'll just go down and kind of rest in the chair and pray a little bit, try to be as spiritual as I can. You know, as I gain a little strength, I'll get up, got down there on that chair. And I mean the Spirit of God inside of me, get up, son, on your feet. Get up now on your feet. I mean, this is all pushing. You know, and I thought, oh my, this is just my flesh. I'm tired. Can I just pray from this position? No, because it's spiritual in content. Saint, I had to get up, walk around that place. My God, just walking around that place, and I'm trying to pray. And finally, my wife, she's there kneeling at the other seat. I go off into the bedroom and get in that bathroom, and I'm in there, you know, just farthest I can from the next voice that I can hear all along. And the Lord begins to deal with me along this line. Son, it's not just about praying. You've got to push your prayer up to the level of praise. You've got to exalt me. That got a hold of my spirit. Come on, saints, because when you're battling, it's not just about a spiritual thing. Sometimes you got to bring this body and this mind, this soul, everything into obedience unto Christ. I will tell you tonight, church, you hear me well, if there's one area of our lives we're unwilling to be obedient to God with, we'll be obedient to God in every area of our life, because every area of our life is affected by the fact that I am a born-again child of God. I read you several passages of text that tell us in the Old Testament to the New, that it requires an absolute wholeheartedness to God to serve and to do His will. If you and I are going to push back the powers of darkness, it's going to have to take somebody that's given everything they are to God and appropriate everything that God has given to them if we're going to touch God. I'm here to tell you, saints, if Landmark Tabernacle Church and if you and I as people of God are going to be able to be effectual when we fight and effectual when we pray and effectual when we praise, that we're going to have to take it to the level where we can win. Come on, saint of God, and we can touch God. There is one level that you and I can praise and we can fight the adversary to the place where we can win, and that is at the level of the Spirit of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not carnal, not carnal, not carnal. You're not going to outrun the devil. You're not going to outmuscle the devil. You're not going to outthink the devil. No, no, no. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And saints, we cannot waste our time with anything less. It is to pray along fleshly lines, but if we can push this thing up to the level of the Spirit, it'll cause all of these things of our life to be overcome by the power of God. If you believe it, would you give Him a praise in this place? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Would you stand with me across this room as my wife begins to play and you're not shut in with God? Father, I pray tonight, Lord, as you have dealt with me, there are times when I know you've shown me something. I've tried to make a message out of it, and you've pricked me and said, no, son, that wasn't for them, that's for you. But in this message tonight, God, I know you've shown me this, and then you've told me, I've shown you, now you go show them. Many of these things we're aware of, God. There's simply just an amen to what our spirit says. That's so. These are not unheard of truths that are preached tonight, God. But they're to bring things to our remembrance. The Spirit of the Lord is here to move in His hands. Lord, if we become exhausted in our prayer life, we'll become fatigued in our body, in our spirit, in our mind, posture, our work ethic, relationships, everything else. If the enemy can find something that he sows can be implanted in that life, he'll sow the same thing in every other area of our lives. You're here this evening. Say, Pastor, I've got a lot of duties, responsibilities. I stay exhausted all the time, don't have time to pray. Then you need to get you another job. I said, you need to get you another job or you need to quit work. You need to sell that house or that car, that furniture, have yourself a big garage sale. Saint of God, there's things more important. We've placed importance on things that are less important. And it's killing us. You're here tonight in this place. Again, Saint of God, please don't mistake zealousness for anger in this message or this altar call. I know God is very serious about this, so I must be. I love you tonight. I'm not angry about this or accusing. But I cannot draw back from what I know God is saying to us tonight. Hear this from the level of the Spirit of God. Let God speak to you tonight. Don't throw up a hand of resistance. You're shut in with God. No looking around, just shut in with God. That way God can speak to you and you alone. Arm yourself with this one thought. Lord, if you're speaking to me, I want to hear it. Having heard, I want to do. I don't want to be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. If you're here tonight in this place, and you've allowed things to come into your life that frustrate you in being able to obtain places in the Spirit. Now, there's some things you can't change. God didn't expect that. He expects you to overcome. You overcome. You do what you've got to do. Do what you've got to do. Whatever that is. So many of the saints of God before you and I, saints, could handle so much more. Now, why is that? Because we've accepted less. We've lessened. We've made more excuses than we have strides in overcoming. And why is that? Because we're praying and praising and fighting at the level of the flesh and not of the Spirit. I want to encourage you tonight. So whatever you got to do, you do it. Whatever you got to do to get in, you get in. Pastor, it might take all night. Then stay up all night. Do you see the sun coming up in the morning? I may have to pass some meals by. Pass as many as you need by. Whatever you got to do. Father, tonight in this place, Lord, we love you, dear God. I love these folks. Father, there's a hearing ear. And I pray, God, if there's not in this room a hearing ear, God, among any of us, you challenge that. I've already prayed that. But God, for a hearing ear, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak into that heart. This seed is what it ought to be. But Lord, this seed in my pouch isn't enough. This seed's got to find good ground. And Lord, tonight it's not enough to know this with our heads and hear it with our ears. But I'm asking you, God, to begin to quicken this thought upon the spirit of the people. Say, Pastor, if I pray like that, it's totally going to alter my prayer life. Saint, let me tell you something. You may be shut down to just, oh, God, for a while. Oh, God. It may just be Jesus for a couple of weeks. Or you may pray at deep levels, dig up stuff you didn't even know was there. Your prayers may be longer or shorter. You'll be waiting. Maybe there's more waiting to hear what God, and God hadn't said nothing. I've been right here for 30 minutes at this altar, and I hadn't heard anything God said. I've been saying a lot of stuff, and I hadn't felt the Spirit prompt me at all. Then stay shut in with God until God says something. Whatever you do, whatever you got to do, do it. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So my wife begins to sing. You're here tonight, and you say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want you to minister to my life these things. Oh, saint of God, hold just a moment with me. My God, I feel the prompting of the Spirit of the Lord. Such presence of God. Oh, my God. Oh, I know what it is to hear a message. You can tell that the pastor is very earnest about it. Surely God has spoken to him. But somehow, there have been times when my spirit wasn't open up to receive. I couldn't receive it like he's trying to.